The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, I'm Gina Thomas-Kelly from SB Nation.
And I'm Amir Tyree from DraftKings Nation.
And we're the hosts of Football Cheat Sheet, a brand new podcast that comes out every Friday and gives you the tools you need to win money and dominate your friends in fantasy this NFL season. Be sure to subscribe via your favorite podcast platform. And if you have questions about fantasy football, DFS, or betting options for any week, drop those questions along with a 5-star review, and we'll be glad to answer them on our next show.
Yeah, just to kick things off, we're coming to you guys on Friday, so we get to get some of that just crazy action from the Chargers Raiders game from Thursday. I, for one, completely got destroyed last minute. I'd done pretty well earlier on in the day playing like English Premier League stuff, and I was like, okay, yeah, I'll put something in a GPP. And then Derek Carr tears his groin in the first quarter, and Marcus Mariota comes in, which we have not seen him in forever since he lost his job to Ryan Tannehill, essentially. And yeah, completely lights it up, gives him a chance to win the game. Looked great, was pretty efficient, showed the athleticism, ran for 88 yards. He has just as many 80-yard games as Ezekiel Elliott in the last 8 weeks now. So that's impressive. But yeah, the Raiders are still going to try and make that push for the postseason. So that kind of changes the whole dynamic around that team. So I don't know if you caught any of that game, Gina, but that was just crazy to watch. It was ridiculous. All the way around.
Yeah, it was a wild game. And I just felt so bad for Raiders fans seeing Carr go down, just because it happened, I think it was the 2016 season. That was really his most consistent season as a pro. He was a legitimate MVP contender that year. And then, you know, right toward the end of the season went down with an injury. And so this is, you know, a similar situation. They're poised to go to the playoffs. But I mean, Mariota is a good option. And so it should be interesting to see how this works out for the Raiders.
Yeah, because especially when I was watching that, it was like Carr went out and then Mariota didn't really take any time to even warm up. I think it was Joe Buck was like, he's seen their defense. You know, he has more time to get ready. And then of course they drive down the field and get a couple more first downs before he steps in. But yeah, I definitely think a lot of people were underselling him. And then now it's not necessarily that he's facing like super easy defenses coming up, as they've got the Dolphins and then they've got the Broncos on schedule, which the Dolphins secondary, Xavier Howard leading those guys. They've definitely been great. They did a great job against the Chiefs, turning them over a couple times. So, yeah, watching that dynamic. But I don't think this affects Darren Waller too much, because I was surprised when he threw that bomb down the side. I don't know if his volume is quite the same, but I think still a lot high upside for Darren Waller. He had 150 yards and a touchdown in that game on 9 receptions.
Yeah, absolutely. My husband and I did a flash draft last night, and that kind of made on DraftKings, and that kind of made it having Carr go down made it a little bit more challenging, because it was just hard to know what the passing distribution was going to be with Mariota behind center.
Yeah, and then coming from one thing that really got me was coming from the Chargers side, because they were dealing with so many injuries this week. And that down to like the last 15 seconds before everything, like all like lineups locked out, I was like, man, I have Eckler. I left Eckler and Keenan Allen out of the thing. And then I saw, who was it? Field Yates tweeted that Keenan Allen looked into the camera at the game and was like, "Do not sit me today." And I was like, "Oh my God." I was like, it's like he's trying to Josh Jacobs us. What do I do? And like it goes down to like the last 10 seconds. Of course, I put him in and he gets like 2.6 points. I'm like, oh my God.
Of course.
And then Kalen Ballage scores a touchdown over Eckler, who's been going crazy since he came back from injury as well. So just the tilt in that game all the way around. But if anything, it showed you that, Tyron Johnson is a guy who's definitely stepping forward with the injuries to Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's stuff there. And then I faded Herbert, which is like my risky move of the day, considering I kind of assumed he wouldn't have as bad of a game as he had his past 2 weeks. But then, you know, he made the most sense going in for sure to captain in like a showdown lineup. But hey, I was thinking he could have a subpar game that way. It did not pan out for me. So I think he should be continue to look strong for the rest of the year, regardless of how bad the Chargers record is.
Yeah, the Chargers are a better team than their record suggests. And Herbert, like we've talked about him a lot on the show. I have started him most weeks here over the past like probably 10 weeks or so. And he's been really consistently good in DFS especially. But yeah, the past 2 weeks, I really thought that he'd bounce back against the Falcons after getting just blown out by the Patriots. And he did not really bounce back against the Falcons, which is surprising. And so, yeah, I think that he's still very good. He's going to be very good long term. But yeah, he's been a little bit of a disappointment for me here lately in DFS.
Yeah. And then, that was a strong way to start the week. Very weird game, but also very close. Chargers have played in like a million ones, like one score games, just like really close games all year. But we still have some loaded stuff coming up for the weekend. We got Saturday football, and then we got the main slate on DraftKings 11 games. But yeah, playoff implications are on the line for a lot of teams. One of the ones I wanted to talk about, even considering it's crazy, considering that the Bears have a chance to make the playoffs still after going, they had that 6-game losing streak, and they're up against the Vikings this week, which, you know, they have to root for a couple other teams to get the job done. But I think, there's a lot of interest in that from a fantasy perspective in that Vikings and Bears game, because Mitchell Trubisky is kind of on his like redemption tour. He gets the job done and they destroy the Texans. So yeah, now they're coming back against maybe more of like a passing game for him against Minnesota, because Allen Robinson finally had gotten going thing. And then another thing to monitor on that front is Jimmy Graham was a guy who I was really high on earlier in the season. He's like, I hadn't noticed until I looked and like checked snap percentages over the last couple weeks, but he's like slowly getting phased out of that system for Cole Kmet, because Cole Kmet has played more snaps than all Bears tight ends for 3 weeks straight, and Jimmy Graham has been under 50% of the snaps. I was like, Jimmy Graham did just score a touchdown in week 14, but I was like, that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, definitely. Kmet, I think, has a really high ceiling, and with Graham's age, it just makes sense that they would start to, de-emphasize him and move on to the younger guys. So he's definitely a tight end to keep an eye on, I think.
Yeah, and that's because even with those, like, I think maybe the winner of that game might end up getting that final playoff spot, because you have to look at the other games around. They're going to have to be we'll talk about some of the other teams. Like, they're going to have to be rooting for the Eagles, who were really surprising this last week, because I paid up all the way for defense for the Saints. And then I was like, oh, man, Jalen Hurts is really going to make me eat. And he definitely did.
That was such a huge upset. And as listeners of the show know, I'm a Falcons fan and I really hate the Saints. So it was like Christmas came early for me with that upset.
I know you appreciated that. And now they're coming back to play the the Cardinals this upcoming week when I think, yeah, people were, you know, seeing how he was able to inject some life into the offense against one of the best defenses in the NFL. Now coming back, you know, the Cardinals have had their better games, but also, you know, they've been picked apart as well. So seeing how they're going to attack that. And that's definitely something from a stacking, but just like from a stacking perspective, I kind of want to talk about a little bit later on the show. But yeah, that as far as the like the Vikings Bears game, you know, they both those teams have got to really think playoffs now, because if the Eagles upset there, and then a couple other things come together, then they could find themselves in the playoff picture, surprisingly.
Yeah, it's just that whole division is just an adventure this year. So that is going to be really interesting. And I am really surprised, I guess, that the Saints are planning to play Drew Brees this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I think that it was 11 ribs that he broke. And yeah, which is nuts. And so, yeah, apparently he's going to be back this week. And I like, what do you think about him as a fantasy option?
Yeah.
I don't think that I'd feel great about putting him in there.
Well, you know, even before, I think we see a good amount of Taysom Hill. We know, regardless of whether you're a Sean Payton fan or not, you know, he's all about the gamesmanship and kind of, you know, get in the opponent's head kind of deal. So I think a lot of it is that. I think not necessarily that we see it split 50-50, which, you know, before earlier on, we were like, oh, Taysom Hill is still going to be a gadget guy. And we were thinking Jameis Winston was going to make his showing, which was not the case. But this time around, I think given that they've kind of been game planning for Taysom Hill all week, it's just like to throw a wrench in their kind of plan and, you know, add a little element of unpredictability as far as what to expect. But I think he's going to be on the field, but I don't know if I would start either one. I don't know if I would start either. I would just stay away from the Saints completely, I think, at quarterback. But if you're going to pick one, I think Hill's still.
Yeah, because I still think that he'll get his snaps. I mean, he's played overall very well for the Saints when he's had to fill in here. And he did look like a quarterback much of that time. So, yeah. But I'd steer clear of those guys this week, too.
I'll be interested to see how the snap count breaks out there. But for me, it's a no-go. And then another game for sure I think a lot of people will be checking out is that Houston Texans, Indianapolis Colts game. A couple weeks back when we both had the really big week as far as talking about Waller and talking about T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton's on like a crazy – he's on a crazy stretch now. I had him again in this last week. I opted like last minute to go with like a Colts thing and got like Phillip Rivers and Taylor and T.Y. He caught those two touchdowns. And I don't know. I think I might want to take a step back on this now, because when it seems like he's you know, he's so hot, maybe a lot of people will definitely be on Taylor, given that he's really starting to surge. But yeah, between that game and you look at Deshaun Watson, Kiki QT, Chad Hansen has gone like over 80 yards in two straight games after I talked about the other week. He hadn't played like in a regular season game in like 2 years or something like that. So I have to look again and see, because I know T.Y. Hilton's price is going to be on the rise again. Well, no, 5,500, so still pretty affordable from the 5,100 that he was at last week. But I don't know if I want to try. I've already hit there like twice, and I think going back there three times in a row might be a little bit much for me. But the matchup's still not bad by any means. But yeah, Houston was able to surprise some people by putting up numbers and making that a competitive game, despite being the first game without Will Fuller in the mix there. So I think people are going to have their eyes on that game as well.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely. I've had Jonathan Taylor in my lineup for the last 2 weeks. And I think that, yeah, that's something I'm going to try to stick with So as long as I can make it work with the cost. Because, yeah, he has been really, really solid for me here lately.
The last thing I want to talk about as far as games coming up for this week, just like from a matchup perspective, fantasy-wise, seeing what this New England Patriots-Miami game is, I think the public is pretty split on how that game is going to go, especially coming off, Miami put up a great fight against the Kansas City Chiefs in their last game. New England got completely destroyed by the Rams, but Miami had the worst injury luck in week 14.
Yeah.
Given that, yeah, because Gesicki scored the 2 touchdowns, but he hurt his shoulder and he's been struggling to get in practice. And then Jakeem Grant and Devontae Parker also went down. So especially just like 2 weeks removed from that 45-0 win over the Chargers, I think there could be a good amount of value in that in the Patriots defense. And then Miles Gaskin also on the COVID-19 list, and it looks like he's going to miss another game. So a guy who's on my radar is Lynn Bowden Jr., who is he's listed as a wide receiver, but in some season long, he's like a wide receiver running back kind of hybrid guy. He had 7 receptions for 82 yards in the last game. So maybe he's a guy to keep an eye on, but yeah, Tua's weapons are, he's going to be really limited on offense. And I think even at home, that could be a tough game that you might want to look at. I don't think a lot of points will come from that game.
With Bowden, he's the last 2 weeks has had over 50 yards. And like you said, last week, that was a career high, 7 catches, and he had 82 yards. So, definitely trending in the right direction there. I think that he's probably going to be a low cost guy who would be, good to stash in your lineup if you can make it work.
I didn't have any specific over under stuff for this week. So I think we're just going to move into just talk a little bit about hits and misses and get into some lock sleeper stuff before kind of doing a waiver wire breakdown of who we kind of want to keep an eye on.
I think that Jonathan Taylor was my biggest hit. Like I just talked about how that was a big one for me. And then as far as the misses, this might be my lowest point total all year. Like this was really maybe the worst lineup that I have had. Herbert, not great. I mean, he's usually well over 20 points and he only had 16 points. So it was an improvement from the previous week, but still not good. Eckler was good. Jonathan Taylor, 33.5 points. So that was really excellent. But then I had Chris Godwin, Terry McLaurin, Alan Lazard, and they all had like fewer than 4.5 points.
Yeah, and then that'll do it.
And the Seahawks defense did well. They had 12 points. I put in whoever's playing the Jets. That's my whole defensive strategy. Yeah. And then I at least had Gesicki, who had a strong game. But like you said, I don't know that I'd follow that up with him again this week because of his injury status.
Yeah, and yeah, we'll see. I'm skeptical about him even getting on the field. I'll have to definitely monitor his stuff coming up to the game. But man, my lock of last week did well. I can't remember who I did as a sleeper last week, but I locked in Donovan Montgomery, and then he kicked off the game with that 80-yard touchdown. So that was nice. He was quieter than I would have liked him to be for the rest of the game, but at least that got me started in the right direction. Jonathan Taylor, T.Y. Hilton, Gesicki, we talked about. Two things I missed on, like I talked about earlier, the Saints defense I thought was going to give Jalen Hurts a tough time. They did not. And then Corey Davis, which is always like a guessing game between, Corey Davis had that monster game the week before. It's like, it's a guessing game of who's going off, A.J. Brown or Corey Davis. And it's always kind of, you just have to get lucky with that one. So I missed on that. But I have some good, I have some interest in him coming back because A.J. Brown, I know he re-aggravated or had like another leg injury from week 14. He's been limited. He's pretty much limited every week, and then he comes out and has like his full workload. for the most part. But either way, I wouldn't put Corey Davis out of the mix for this upcoming game against. I want to say they're taking on the Jaguars this week. No, they are not.
The Titans are playing the Lions.
There we go. The Lions today, which yes. is also maybe an even better, more of a run. Either way, the Lions are like bottom six or seven against the run and the pass. So I'm still a fan of him coming back and returning value in that daily fantasy or season long. So.
Yeah, I mean, those matchups for Brown and Davis are pretty good this week, especially with, you know, Jeff Okuda is still out, I think, with an injury. And so I think that that creates a lot of opportunities for those guys.
Yeah. And then moving on to lock and sleeper, I want to come back to Brandon Ayuk for my lock of the week, 6,300 on DraftKings, going up against the Dallas Cowboys. Matchup doesn't get much juicier than that for the most part. He's just the San Francisco's just been torn apart by injuries all year. The running back situation, I would just give up on that. Like I stay away from all those guys, at least season long when it comes to Mostert and Jeff Wilson, and trying to guess who's gonna be there. Deebo Samuel now out with that hamstring tweak that he suffered on his first touch of the game in week 14. And yeah, Ayuk's just been going crazy. They're looking at getting him back in the return game. So not necessarily say he's going to get a return touchdown, but if he does, you heard it here first. Getting back in that, he's averaging over 21 DraftKings points per game over his past five appearances. So yeah, I don't see why you wouldn't put him up against one of the worst defenses in the NFL. And then as a sleeper who maybe isn't necessarily a sleeper, I don't know, because his price is going up a lot. Jalen Hurts really surprised me. I think that his price jump is really going to scare a lot of people, but he's one of my favorites for like the lower owned stack in like a GPP. He was 5,100, which is like about as low as you're going to get a starting quarterback. In week 14, now he's up at 5,900, so he's above some of the more respected quarterbacks. But one thing I will say is, when you have a mobile guy like Hurts, and he's going up against man defenses, that can be a nightmare. And no team has played more man than the Arizona Cardinals this year. So I think if he's gonna have two like back to back great games, that this is the stretch for him to do it. And if you're going to put him with someone, I would say Miles Sanders, who is, he's a little pricier than who I like. But he had his best game of the season, like 32 and some change DraftKings points in week 14. So, you know, those little, I think he's getting more involved in the run game. The volume isn't quite what you want it to be like that. And then maybe just like a cheaper, if you want to go like cheap someone, Alshon Jeffrey or any one of those receivers, or I think Dallas Goedert has the edge over Zach Ertz. He's not gonna, he can throw the ball downfield, but he's not gonna try and stretch it out too much. I think it's just gonna be more of like a break contain, and you know the receivers like run themselves open, because when the secondary has to like look in the backfield and see like where Jalen Hurts is running around, it makes it that much easier for his guys get open, which we saw a lot of that against the Saints, and I think he could bring that back against the Cardinals. And I think, yeah, maybe I wouldn't go on to go like 3 or 4 weeks in a row, but I think this like back-to-back matchups is pretty prevalent for him. So he's not super cheap, but I doubt people will be willing to pay $6,000 for Jalen Hurts after he's had one start.
Yeah, and I mean, I can understand that. But yeah, if you're looking at ownership percentage, I think that makes a lot of sense. My lock this week is going to be Rob Gronkowski, who has finally started catching touchdowns and goes up against a Falcons team that is, you know, I feel like since I became a fan of this team, they have been weak against tight ends. And so, yeah, I just think that he has the potential to have a big day in Atlanta this week. And my sleeper this week is from the same game. I picked the wrong Falcon last week for my sleeper. I picked Ito Smith. And I should have picked Russell Gage, Gage had 5 catches last week for 82 yards, and he threw a 39-yard touchdown pass.
Oh, I completely missed that one. I didn't.
Yeah, it was bonkers. And so, Gage, I think, you know, Julio Jones is out again. I do not think that we'll see him take the field again this season. I don't know why in the world the Falcons would trot him out there in a meaningless season when, you know, I mean, it's not like they're going to win, and it's not like it would make a difference if they did. So, with him out, I think that it creates more opportunities for Gage. And so he obviously, you know, had a great week last week. And I think that he'll be a big factor in this week's game plan too.
Yeah. And I want to say we talked about Gage in the, I don't know. Maybe we did. I feel like we maybe talked about him in kind of the waiver wire pickup things we were talking about.
Yes.
I feel like we said something about what's the point, and we kind of were like, is Julio Jones really going to be much of a factor the rest of the stretch? And at this point, it looks like, you know, they're on the road to a top 5 pick. So I don't see why they'd put him out there. He can still be an asset for the time he has left. So that makes sense there.
Yeah, absolutely. I would be fine with them just absolutely shutting Julio down for the rest of the year, let him get fully healthy, and then come in with a new coach this offseason and hopefully be a better football team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, let's come into this waiver wire stuff. I had to make a little adjustment now that Derek Carr has been injured, because he was one of my top guys that I liked coming into week 15. But Hurts coming up. He's got Arizona, and then he's got Dallas. So not bad there before it gets a little tougher, and he goes back to Washington in that next game. Phillip Rivers, he's got Pittsburgh after this Houston game, but Jacksonville after that. Just to go back, Hurts was about 17% owned when I looked at it. After last week's games had wrapped up, Phillip Rivers around 41%. And then Mitchell Trubisky, he's got Minnesota and Jacksonville before Green Bay. So if he can really keep on. And then I have to throw it into Marcus Mariota now, as, you know, not necessarily that the Chargers is a super respectable defense this year, but I think given that he was able to do that with all the rust and like not even really getting first team reps and running with those starters, I think that he can still get better from there. And yeah, he can be a better option than some of the people who are in than what you have if you're in like a deeper league. I think he could step forward and continue to put up some solid stats, especially as a dual threat guy. And then as far as running backs, Lynn, it's like a weird kind of toss up between running back and wide receiver, like I said, for Lynn Bowden before. But he was 1% rostered coming off that week 14 game, which I'm sure has gone up quite a bit with Las Vegas and Denver and Kansas City as some of the games he's got coming up still. Yeah, Jeff Wilson, even though I really don't like it for daily fantasy, but for season long, it seems like they like him near the goal line more than Raheem Mostert. Tony Pollard is a little under the radar right now. Is Ezekiel Elliott logged a season low 32 snaps in week 14, only had 48 rushing yards on 12 carries, and Pollard pretty much matched that with a season high 11 carries for 39 yards. And also had 2 catches for 9 yards and a score. So I don't necessarily expect him to split it down the middle, but it's clear that, you know, Zeke is not the star. Like I talked to at the top of the show, that Mariota has as many 80-yard performances as him in the last 8 weeks. So I don't think you can really expect those big numbers from Zeke. If you need a pivot from that, it's going to be hard to get like a big time guy. But at least you can, you know, Pollard is going to see some work and has just about as much touchdown upside, I think.
Yeah.
As him at this point in the season.
Yeah. I mean, the Cowboys are just a mess at this point. They've had so many injuries along the offensive line. Obviously, the Dak has been out for many weeks and all that kind of stuff. So you would think that they would be relying more on the run game, but I just think that I think that the offensive line issues, like the injuries that they've had, is probably a big factor there.
Yeah. And then going on to receivers, Russell Gage definitely is up there, especially with the Julio news is only going to help him more. One of my favorite one coming into week 15 is Gabriel Davis was at 7% rostered from the Buffalo Bills. He's caught a touchdown in four of his last five games. John Brown is on the mend and coming back, but yeah, I think Davis is at least at wide receiver. I'm not sure what his rostership is at now, but just given, you know, it's pretty rare that someone who's scored that frequently to be so readily available in a lot of fantasy leagues. So if you want to jump on him.
Yeah, he ranks third among all rookies for scoring this year. Well, for receiving touchdowns. He has six. So it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's been flying under the radar. And with the Bills offense, it's looking like they're really, they're starting to click again. Even if he does come behind Cole, Stephon Diggs is the guy at times going to come behind Cole Beasley. But they're not running the ball a ton with Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. So I think he has a pretty good chance to be a threat, at least to find the end zone. But yeah, I did not realize he was doing that well as far as receiving touchdowns, though.
Yeah, it was notable enough that the NFL included it in this week's capsule. So that's how
I guess I was thinking off the top of my head, I was thinking like Justin Jefferson has been great. Like he's getting a ton of yards, but I guess he's not scoring much. But yeah, I'm trying to think if he's like, he's somewhere in that five-ish, six-ish range, maybe receiving yards. But yeah, I guess he's just not quite finding the end zone. So Dave is coming from like, not that he was not involved at all, but you know, his involvement continues to grow, I think, with the weeks. And he's really benefited from John Brown missing time.
Mm-hmm.
Two other ones I want to touch on. Kiki QT, I'm not as high on as some of the other guys. Who's at 45% rostered coming off week 14, but also Nelson Agholor, 36%. He still can be that deep threat guy. And he had his ceiling game in week 14 before playing that Thursday game, as well as Tim Patrick, who scored, he had the two receiving touchdowns against Carolina Panthers week 14. Those are his second and third score in the last 2 weeks. And he doesn't get as many targets as Jerry Jeudy, but he does lead them in receiving yards by, you know, not a wide margin, but also receiving touchdowns this year. So he's like pretty consistently been a guy I talked about with people are, you know, they're kind of just like letting him chill. And then he has a breakout game. He has 300 yard games so far on the season. You know, he's not like looked at as like the star guy. What a lot of people say on him is he has that regular name, so he doesn't really pop out. He's not one of the cool name receivers. He doesn't, you know, Kiki pops a little bit more than Tim Patrick, but he's good, I promise.
Yeah, and so here's a fun note on him from the capsules this week. So he's played three games against the AFC East this season. And he has 333 yards, averaging 111 per game against the AFC East, and has a receiving touchdown in each of those games. So that in and of itself, I think, makes him a viable target.
Oh, yeah. That is those are definitely impressive AFC East numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for grinding. Yeah, he's killing the AFC East. It looks like all the ceiling games when it comes against them. But yeah, and then I talked about the Patriots defense, and then a couple other defenses you might want to check out. We have the Cleveland Browns, even though they had that rough loss to the Ravens coming up against the New York Giants, where Daniel Jones is kind of up in the air, and I don't think anybody is banking on Colt McCoy to hit a home run, especially, you know, he was only hit something like 105 passing yards against the Seahawks, who have been the worst in the NFL all year against the pass. So I think coming up, not to say the Browns have a great pass defense, but even they have, you know, even they've done pretty well or better than the Seahawks this season. So yeah, I think keeping an eye on them, as they're not rostered at a very high rate just because they're a very good run stopping team, not great through the air. But if Daniel Jones doesn't start in that game, I think they could definitely shake up Colt McCoy.
And I don't think it sounds like Jones is going to be able to go. You know, Joe Judge had said that that Daniel Jones keeps lying to him about whether he's
okay.
And then Joe Judge was like, I'm going to have to just use my eyes. And then he listened to him and he said that he was healthy enough to play. So he did. And then he got hurt again. So it just doesn't sound good. I think that even if he does play, he might not be 100%. So I think that that also makes the Browns a decent defense option.
Before we go on to just like, we did pretty well with the, with that Washington upset pick over the 49ers, which now I'm not quite sure what to expect from them now that it looks like, well, Smith has been ruled out and it was going to be Dwayne Haskins will be back under center. But who do you have first? Let's try to figure out who's in the, well, you put yourself in the doghouse for a player, but do you have an actual player who is in the doghouse?
Yes, I'm going to put like the whole middle of my lineup in there. I'm going to put, you know what I'm going to do? I'm putting Tom Brady in the doghouse for not throwing to Chris Godwin. Like, it's not Chris Godwin's fault that Brady didn't involve him. So I won't blame Chris. I will put Tom Brady in the doghouse. And yeah, Terry McLaurin, I mean, I think he just had an unusually bad day. Lazard is always a gamble because Aaron Rodgers has so many options to throw to. But yeah, so I'm going to – Chris Godwin was the biggest disappointment, I think, for me last week.
I think I'm going to go with – up against – let's see. I'm going to put Cam – I'm going to put Cam Newton in there. He hasn't had the conventional quarterback's stats. But he got over 100 yard, passing yards for the first time in like 3 weeks against the Rams. So, you know, considering he wasn't able to get there against the Cardinals and Chargers in the weeks before, you know, it wasn't great. Only had a 53.9 quarterback rating. So that's not the best, but he's got to get it back up for this game against the Dolphins, who are, you know, they're missing all their major playmakers for the most part. So he's going to have to pull that. He's going to have to pull that together. And I think there's still, you know, the Patriots aren't just going to, they're not just going to like lay down because they think they're not going to be a Super Bowl team. I expect them to continue to be competitive and try and figure things out. And even I have to check up on it, but I know Julian Edelman was even looking to get back in the mix of things. I know he's trying to work back after. I thought he was essentially done for the year. So
it looks like, too.
Yeah. I saw, yesterday or 2 days ago, I saw that he was making an attempt to come back to practice, or at least start working out. So he's trying to get back. So that would definitely give them a boost.
That definitely would. Part of the issue has been that, you know, Cam just doesn't have that much talent to throw to. So that's definitely been an issue.
And then just as I look at these point spreads and lines, it seems like a kind of difficult week. For at least underdogs, it's going to be an interesting one. As far as point spread goes, I do like the Carolina Panthers +8.5 against Green Bay. We saw the Lions get into a dogfight with them. Only a one score game there, where DeAndre Swift did come back. They still didn't have their top guy, Kenny Golladay, in that game. T.J. Hockenson has still been showing out, but you know, without Golladay, and they have an elite corner in Jaire Alexander out there. And then, you know, the Panthers have that close game against Denver, but they're getting D.J. Moore back from the COVID-19 list, so they're going to have Robbie, they're going to have Curtis, and you know, they're going to have also Mike Davis for a lot of weeks this season. Green Bay is been picked apart by those more versatile running back types. So I think that game could be closer than you think. Not necessarily Panthers upset, because Green Bay favored -400, but I think they could cover that 8.5 point spread. And as I'm looking at these money line things, seeing if anything really pops out to me. This is an interesting week, say. I hadn't realized. I thought the Patriots would actually be favored in this one, but they are. Patriots are +100 at Miami. So, I definitely like that one. It was sneaking away from me at the bottom there. So, if Tua's not gonna have all, if he's not gonna have Parker and he's not gonna have Gesicki, he's not gonna have Miles Gaskin and Jakeem Grant, that's reasonable. That's that's enough to rattle him. Which we've seen Tua have some big time rookie games where, he hasn't necessarily been able to move the ball against lesser defenses at times. So, I think they can definitely get that upset there. And I'd argue that the even coming off that game against the Rams, which like because think about how Tua played against the Rams earlier this season when they got that win. He was terrible in that game. So, I like that Patriots one, but I'm gonna leave it at that. That was tough as far as finding an edge on money line stuff. But yeah, those are the two that stand out to me.
Yeah, those both sound like good plays.
It took a little long on the money line stuff. Hey, it's tough out here. I'm trying to keep the streak going.
Yeah, well, that is our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Gianna Thomas. It's Janna Thomas. And sometime today, Friday, I will go ahead and create this week's DFS contest on DraftKings. And you can play along with us. I will tweet that info out later. It's a standard lineup with a $50,000 salary cap. 10 people. We can do multiple leagues if there's enough interest. There's a $10 buy-in and the top three payout each week. So look for that on Twitter and let us take your money. Or yeah, at least Amir. I did not win any money last week.
We'll see. I'm on a two-week streak right now. I assume, are we gonna include Saturday stuff in this week?
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna go ahead and get it set up today so that we'll do Saturday, Sunday, and Monday's games.
Cool. And yeah, you can find me at @its_miracle. I will be jumping in there and trying to three-peat coming into that one. So I've had some good luck. If you wanna think about, I might pivot off. I don't always go with like the low owned stack ones, but mm-hmm. I always, for the most part, I at least put my lock and sleeper. I, for the most part, have in my lineups, unless I see something like crazy right before kickoff.
Me too.
Yeah. @its_miracle, AMEERICLE. And also be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and drop fantasy, DFS, and gambling questions in the comments with a 5-star review. And we'll be happy to answer them on the next episode.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we will catch you next time.